Our next stop in our tour of the European continent, we've been to Bucharest. We keep the theme of cities beginning with B, and we go to Barcelona. So I'm going to ask Steve Phillips if he'll come to the front, and we'll do an interview. First of all, do you guys just want to introduce yourselves, who you are, where you come from?
Yes, Steve Phillips, originally from Southern California.
I'm Naime Phillips from Northern Mexico.
Wow, okay. And I've already said you're planting in Barcelona. How did you end up in Barcelona? What's the story?
Yeah, I had lived in Madrid for 5 years, went back to California to do theological studies, and there we met. I met Naime while I was in the second to last year of studies, and we met a young man who was just entering, and he sold us on the idea of helping a newly planted church north of Barcelona. Sort of not planting it, but sort of coming alongside it as it was getting started.
And how long ago was that?
13 years.
13 years ago, right. Okay, so you have good Spanish now?
Yeah, well, I've got an in-house tutor.
And so how have things developed since then? So you arrived in Barcelona 13 years ago to be involved with this church. What are you involved in at the moment?
Yeah, it's been... anytime you want to butt in, just let me know. It's been good. It's been a rocky road in many ways. But we're still there by God's grace. In 2005, we had the joy of planting out in northern Barcelona. And that was... good experience, hard experience, but a good experience, and we're still excited about planting out in the future as well.
That's great, and I suspect a few more people have been to Barcelona than had been to Bucharest, but nevertheless,
no hands
I'm sure Barcelona is also a mix of the beautiful and the ugly, or however we heard Bucharest described. Tell us a little about what Barcelona is like as a place to be church planting.
Yeah, the beautiful, I feel like it's like preaching on Colossians 1:15 and following, you know, if you like football. Sort of speaks for itself anyway. Yeah, we've got a great football club, started by a Swiss Protestant. Interesting, that's a good bridge. In terms of, especially in a country where no one knows what an evangelical Christian is, to tell people that the Barcelona Club was started by a Protestant, good conversation topic. Great food, good weather in the autumn and the spring. What else?
Please continue.
Yeah, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful place. Just beautiful. But at the same time, just total contrast between the natural beauty and the beautiful architecture and cuisine, and then this spiritual apathy and the rank secularism.
So what is the state of the church in Barcelona?
Very, very much a struggling, probably very similar to Italy in many ways, maybe more northern Italy, but struggling. It's about 1% of the population. In general, but that would be all-inclusive. That would include anyone who's remotely sort of evangelical. And in our context, we're actually north of the city in sort of the greater Barcelona area, the province of Barcelona. And it would be about a fourth of that, actually, the population of evangelical Christians in our area. So it's very, very unreached. So really, the need of the hour is pioneer church planting.
And if there was a new pioneer church planter going to Barcelona tomorrow, what would be your top piece of advice?
Christ is enough, and patience as well. Yeah.
What have been some of the highlights or some of the joys of your work in the recent past?
You know, I'm American, and we like to end on a positive note. Can we start with the hardships?
Yeah, all right. You know, I don't mind. I'm happy.
Stories with the happy endings. We like those. I don't know.
Okay, so well, let's talk hardships then. I'm up for that. That's right.
I get to tell the sad story.
That's right. I'm British, so talking hardships for me, it's pretty much my comfort zone.
he's the positive guy, so he's. See, and I'm the negative, the more, everything is difficult, everything is expensive.
She's realistic. She's just always
calling me back. What are some of the challenges?
Yes. About 10 years ago, we had a very difficult time as a church, very kind of a turmoil. It was doctrinal, but it was almost also, you know, personal with the pastor. And mainly because of the role of women at church. That was very difficult. Anyway, with our small church, you know, when three families leave, you can tell, you know, some people have left. And within after a short period, two other families left. And I'm in charge of the Sunday school ministry, and that after those five families left, I went ahead and taught a Sunday school. And I got inside the Sunday school class, and I discovered I only had my children as my students, you know. My children and our co-pastor's children, too. Anyway, so it was a very sad day. I taught the lesson, Bartimeo, you know, the blind man. And I don't know what I did, but my second son started crying. He thought it was such a sad story. And I started crying, too. I didn't point them to Christ, I think, that day. But it was, it was hard. It was hard to see the empty seats, and all of a sudden I was the Sunday school coordinator, the coffee responsible, the cookie, and the cleaning lady. And anyway, but the Lord sustained us, and now we have many children. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go, you know. We have four classes, and we need more space. So anyway, the Lord has been very gracious. Fantastic. Happy ending.
That's right. Yeah, that wasn't what I was expecting after that build-up. What have been some of the encouragements then recently, apart from that?
Yes. Well, this is probably a story that's very similar to what's going on in everyone's context. But you know, the idea of ordinary life with gospel intentionality. Does that ring a bell? Maybe. We live in a town. It's a little unlike Barcelona. Barcelona is very—it's sort of like any big city. It's hard to get to know people, even people that you live very close to. But in our town, you know, we try to go to the same markets, the same places, and so I would typically go to the same place to make photocopies. And there's a very Catalan man that owns the store, and we actually live in a bilingual area, just so you know. So our services are in two different languages. And Catalan is sort of a language in between French and Spanish. It sounds a little Italian at the same time. So we'd go into this guy. The guy's name was Eugeni. Very, very, very Catalan. And we would strike up conversations. And he likes a good debate. And so we would talk about, you know, Christianity and sort of his views. And just, you know, sort of every time I would go in, if there was time, if there wasn't a long line, we'd go in and talk about the gospel. But didn't really go beyond that. But what I didn't know was that his sister-in-law, who was in the back sort of doing the more menial tasks, was really the one listening. This guy just sort of likes a good debate. But God in his grace was penetrating the heart of Monse, his sister-in-law. And so finally, you know, I started trying to direct my conversations more to her. And one day, Eugeni says, you know, she really needs the stuff that you're talking about. She's going through a really tough time. And we started talking about the gospel. And she's been coming to Bible studies. And it's been very encouraging. And she invited me actually to preach in her, it was her father's funeral. Because the whole family, this gives you an idea of where Spain's at right now. The whole family said, We want a funeral, but there's only one condition. We do not want a priest. You know, so you can invite anyone you want as long as it's not a priest. So that gives you an idea that Spain, by and large, is no longer, you know, Catholic. And so she said, I know somebody who's not a priest that could do it. My pastor. And so I got to preach my first gospel sermon in Catalan. And that was good. So it's been very, very encouraging. And we can see fruit in her family as well. Not in terms of a profession of faith yet, but an interest in the Bible. So that's been very encouraging.
Great to hear. And what's next? What are the plans for the next, I don't know, 6-12 months or hopes?
Survival. Because we've just launched Porterbrook in Spanish and very encouraged, but we're launching it and translating it at the same time with volunteer staff. And so survival would be great. But it has been very, very encouraging, and it's gone way beyond our expectations in terms of the number of churches getting involved, and IFES has gotten involved, and the Evangelical Alliance is very interested. So that's going to be exciting, and also maybe hopefully starting an association in Spain. It's kind of an interesting option to start something parallel to the church that would make more sense in our context in terms of doing outreach, like serving our city. And so we're working hard on starting such an association, so that's exciting.
Great. Well, let's pray for you guys. This is not the only opportunity you have to pray. I can see you've got your the page open in the book.
A couple things to remember, yeah. And eldership.
Eldership.
I'll just add one more
Go
thing.
Go on, yeah, please do. That'd be great.
So we've got some really great candidates for eldership, and just really praise the Lord for that.
Cool. If you need more reminders about anything that Steve and I can't say your name,
Naime.
That's easy. You need to say, I can do that. Even I can do that. You'll find much more in this booklet, and please do make it your business to pray to our Father for them and for the work in Barcelona. But let's just do that now for a moment while you just stand here. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for Steve and Naime. Thank you for the work in Barcelona. And we thank you that you have put them there. We trust that you have done that for your good purposes and to make much of Jesus. We thank you for the opportunities they've had to do that in what is a context where people seem apathetic or resistant to talk of Christ. We thank you for the encouragements that they've had. Thank you for the children that Naomi is getting to teach. We thank you for this lady who's studying the Bible, having overheard conversations that Steve's had. We thank you for people like that, and we pray that there would be salvation amongst the Spanish in and around Barcelona particularly. Pray for them, pray for their plans. We commit them to you with Porterbrook and partnerships and eldership. We pray that you would prosper their plans and use them to give great glory to Jesus. I pray that he would get the fame and the reputation through the work that they do. We praise you again for them. Thank you that they're here. Thank you that they're our brother and sister, and that we have this time to be blessed by them and to encourage them. Help us to do that, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.